That's very cool. You sounded good. Okay, let me juggle stuff here. There. I know we have talked a lot about forgiveness this year. We had 99 days of forgiveness that officially ended on Easter, but some spiritual teachers say if you're still breathing, you have forgiveness work to do. It may be the most spiritual and the hardest thing we do on our human journey. And it can lead to great freedom. The freedom you feel after forgiving, the release of resentment, the calmer energy, free and unlimited, lay your burden down. The prosperity classes that are meeting on Wednesday had a lesson last week on forgiveness. And we each wrote on a stone who or what we wanted to forgive, and then we went outside and threw it into the woods. Afterwards, we felt so free. I felt lighter. And remember, there's one study that says you can actually jump higher after you forgive. It literally takes a weight off. Oh, and if you're ever out on the property and you find a stone with your name on it. It means you've been forgiven. Actually, we deliberately threw them in some pretty obscure places. So this is the second in our series called Questions You Won't Be Asked in Unity. Last week was, Have You Been Saved? The short version is, yeah, but you don't really need to be. You were born blessed and loved. You don't have to do anything or believe anything to prove yourself worthy. Jesus tried to tell us we're already one with God. So this week, the question you won't hear is, have you been forgiven? There are three basic kinds of forgiveness. There's God forgiving us, there's us forgiving others, and then there's us forgiving ourselves. And it's worth talking about again because Unity's take on forgiveness is different from most churches, I think, especially when we talk about forgiveness from God. And we haven't addressed that aspect much. You've heard how unforgiveness hurts you. You know it's like drinking poison, hoping the other person will die. It's like holding on to a hot coal, intending to throw it at someone else. You've also heard the basic teachings that forgiveness is giving up all hope of a better yesterday. That forgiveness is giving up all hope of a better yesterday. What happened, happened. What is, is. And you can look for gifts in whatever happened. But the ultimate key to forgiveness is never to judge in the first place. It took me a while to get this. But all forgiveness comes from a decision that someone else has been bad and wrong. We make a judgment about others, or ourselves for that matter, and then we forgive what we have judged to be wrong. So if we never judge, we never have to forgive. The distinction is important because unity will tell you God does not forgive you. God doesn't have to forgive because God has never judged you. So let's start with God forgiving us. Unity says we do not need nor do we receive God's forgiveness because God never judges us. That's not what most of us were taught, is it? So to jog my memory about traditional Christian teachings on forgiveness, I turned once again to the Methodist hymnal because now they're mainstream, you know, Protestant, and songs are a microcosm of religious teachings. So traditional Christianity says we are saved through Jesus' death on the cross. According to the songs, his death granted us God's forgiveness too. So forgiveness songs have the same themes of blood and suffering that we heard last week about salvation. Forgiveness songs just have a special emphasis on what worms of the dust we are. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. I still remember wondering as a child what I had done that was bad enough Jesus had to die. I didn't know it wasn't just about what we've done, it's about who we are. I learned later about original sin, that everyone's a sinner and God is angry with us unless and until we believe the right things about Jesus. That's what I was taught. Depth of mercy. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God, his wrath, forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. Now incline me to repent. Let me now my sins lament, not my foul revolt deplore. Weep, believe, and sin no more. They don't write lyrics like that anymore. So in the old hymns, being forgiven by God is about being a miserable, guilty sinner, unworthy, foul, revolting, and obstinate. Is that what some of you were taught? Aren't you grateful when we tell our children we love them just the way they are? We're not trying to build their self-esteem. That's our theology. We believe that each of us is divine at the core, that we are literally made in God's image. We are parts of God. God is in us. Unity calls it the Christ within. So when you combine the divine energy of human beings with a God that doesn't judge, there's no need for us to be forgiven. We are loved just the way we are, mistakes and all. Stay with me here, because we won't be letting Hitler off the hook. It always comes up. We all make mistakes, sometimes egregious. Last week we said the word sin originally meant missing the mark, and some people miss it by miles. So how do we fix that? We repent. Now, if you look up repent in the dictionary now, it says you're sorry for something bad that you did. That's what it has come to mean. But actually it means to change your mind, to see it differently, to change your point of view or your approach. It's more than being sorry. Sorry doesn't change anything. Repentance means things will be different from now on. It's interesting to go back through the Gospels and see just how and when Jesus said we should repent. And if you read it as change your mind, change your approach, it makes perfect sense. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He said the kingdom of heaven is among us, within us. So change your minds about heaven. It's right here, right now. You make your own heaven and hell with what you're thinking. So change your thinking. See this differently. Repent. There's only one place in the Gospels where repentance is connected to forgiveness. Repent and be forgiven. And it wasn't Jesus talking. It was John the Baptist. Jesus talked about repentance in terms of helping people out. He said he had come to help sinners repent, to help people who were missing the mark change their minds and change their ways. He did not strong-arm them into behaving well, which so much of religion seems to be about. He tried to help them see themselves and their lives in a different way. When you repent, you see yourself and your actions differently. So repentance probably is necessary as you continue your spiritual growth, but it's not about being sorry for the past. It's changing from the inside out, so the future will be different. It's something you do for yourself. You're not being watched or judged. God is not keeping score when you get it right and when you slip again. Our own lives keep score. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, said, "Transgression of the law brings its own punishment. We are not punished for our sins, but by them." And that's the law. If you miss the mark, you don't achieve your goal. Things don't turn out well. You reap what you sow. You create your own experience with your thoughts. The measure you give is the measure you get back. This is why God doesn't need to forgive us. We're not children anymore. We're mature enough to practice this on our own, to understand spiritual principles and live by them, and to make mistakes and learn from them. So, God doesn't need to forgive us because God has not judged us in the first place. God, what we're calling God, is a force field of love and intelligence that undergirds the universe. And we live by laws that have already been set up. If we make mistakes, we see bad results. But we can choose again, change our thinking, repent. Now, God may not need to forgive us, but we have some real issues with each other. We only have to forgive what we have judged to be wrong. But how many times a day do you judge someone else to be wrong? Jesus, who explained the nature of humankind so well, talked a lot about forgiving each other. And there's a principle involved, a spiritual law, and it's familiar to us. Forgive and you will be forgiven. It's a law we already know, that whatever we put into the universe comes back to us. That works for money, for love, for time, and it also works for forgiveness. This passage is from Luke. This may be my all-time favorite verse in the Bible. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. We've used this verse to describe the law of attraction. The measure you give is the measure you get back. We've cited this verse regarding prosperity. Give and it will be given to you. We've used it to explain the law of increase. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, you get back more than you give. And now here in this same verse, Jesus explains the process of forgiveness, the law. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. He said the same thing in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Notice how it always starts with us. We jumpstart the process and the universe responds. We set up the experience by what we think, say, and do. We always get a match to our consciousness, whatever it is. So there's an interesting story about Jesus told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is the version from Mark. Then some people came, bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus said to them, "Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go home.' And the man walked." Isn't it interesting that forgiveness healed him? Does it mean that paralysis was punishment for his sins? I think it means we are paralyzed by our sins, by missing the mark, time and again. Disease is often the result of resistance, holding on tight, trying to control, resenting what is. He was paralyzed by his sins. If sin means missing the mark, mistakes, failure to live from divine consciousness, we can cripple ourselves with our thoughts. Jesus helped this man to repent, to think of himself differently. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus wasn't talking about himself. Son of Man just means human being. He was saying we can forgive each other. We have divine authority, if that's what it takes, and we will be forgiven precisely to the extent we forgive. I always thought this verse meant we'll be forgiven by God to the extent we forgive other people. But maybe it just means we'll be forgiven by other people to the degree we forgive them. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Equal amounts of compassion and understanding. Equal amounts of tolerance and acceptance. So what we give to others is what we'll get back from them. So let's talk about forgiving each other. If it helps, I'm happy to acknowledge that some people do terrible things to other people. I am not trying to paint a rainbow over the real hurts in life or tell you to just get over it. But we create problems for ourselves when we can't let the hurt go, when reasonable anger turns into resentment. Resentment is nursing a grudge. It's picking off the scab again. It's reviewing the past over and over and feeling the feelings again. It involves obsessive thinking, dwelling on it. Most of all, it reinforces our view of ourselves as victims. And you know, in Unity, we don't get to be victims. We are volunteers. We volunteered for human life. We volunteer for our relationships. We volunteer for the events in our lives, consciously or not, mostly because at a soul level, we know those events will bring us gifts, even if the gifts come through pain. We can't accept the gifts if we're holding on to resentment. We can't claim the lessons until we forgive and let go. You don't have to forget. You don't have to let someone back into your life. They might not even be alive. Forgiveness is something you do for you. Because not to forgive blocks your good. If you need a selfish reason to forgive, that's it. You won't get all the abundance that's yours until you make room for it by letting go of resentments. You can't hold thoughts of victimhood and abundance at the same time. So, those are two good reasons to forgive. If you're not forgiving, others won't forgive you, and your good can't get through to you until you forgive. Some spiritual teachers say unforgiveness also creates financial debt, and I think that's really interesting. Their reasoning goes like this. If you aren't forgiving, you are holding on to the belief that someone owes you something. They should have done better, been better. You were cheated out of something somehow. Those are thoughts of lack. So you end up not having enough. You end up owing too. You're in debt. It's a match in consciousness. Jesus told us unforgiveness blocks our connection with God. In Mark's version, Jesus says, before you pray, if you have anything against anyone, go forgive them. In Matthew, he says, before you pray, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, go and be reconciled. Clear it up. Clean it up. We need forgiveness both ways, to forgive and be forgiven. Forgiveness moves us through barriers, barriers to good, to other people, and to God. It allows healing when we finally leave the scab alone. How, then, do we forgive? I have three ideas to offer among all the others I've offered in the past. These apply to forgiving others or yourself. One is to talk to other people, not to vent your anger over and over. Repeating the story intensifies it. But maybe with a discussion, the other person can reframe what happened for you. Maybe they'll remind you that people act badly out of their own pain, or that most people are doing the best they can with what they know. Talk to someone about forgiving yourself, too. You know, in 12-step programs, you take an inventory of all your traits, good and bad, and then admit it to God, to yourself, and to another human being. Talking can take the power out of it. Sometimes when we say things out loud, we realize they're not so bad and you're not unique. We may think that hanging on to resentment protects us from further injury, but unforgiveness isolates us. We heal in community with each other. So talk to someone who is safe and who cares about you. The second way to forgive, of course, is through prayer. Praying is not asking for favors, but aligning ourselves with the divine. It lifts us to a God's eye view. Could you see someone who harmed you from God's point of view? Could you see yourself as God sees you? If you could, you'd probably see that nobody's perfect. We all need forgiveness at times. And without judgment, we can accept other people and ourselves just the way we all are. Each of us has the light of Christ within us. And I know sometimes it's hard to see that. Sometimes we have to take on faith that it is there, that this person was created by God and is loved in the universe just as much as you are. Sometimes it's even harder to believe that about yourself, that you are a beloved part of God. And sometimes, maybe, we have to forgive God. At times we ask, how could God let this happen? If you're having trouble releasing energy around some event in your life, you might consider whether the next step is to forgive God or the universe or whatever you think is involved in it. Talk and pray about that too. I have noticed, and actually studies have shown this, that forgiveness usually happens without my awareness. I can think about an event or person and realize I'm not feeling it anymore. The energy is gone. There has been a healing. I think that happens when we're willing to forgive. And that's the third key to forgiveness, willingness. Throwing those stones with the names of people we wanted to forgive was a signal of willingness. In the end, forgiveness is not something we can do. Spirit in us does the work. We invite it to happen. It is yet another co-creation with God. Now notice none of these three involve going to the other person to say, I forgive you. It's all done within. It's an inside job, something you do for yourself. Talk about it, pray about it, but mostly you just have to be willing. Let go of the effort. Let forgiveness quietly overtake you, whether the bad act was something done to you or something you did. Forgiveness happens when you're willing to let God, which is your innate divine energy, work in you. And the day will come when you realize you are free. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's begin, as we always do in a meditation, by taking a deep cleansing breath fully in, holding it just for a moment, and then fully releasing. Consciously aware of that breathing. Visualizing it moving through your body, moving to that sympathetic nerve that just allows us to just be still. And as you continue to breathe deeply, allow yourself to bring to mind a person, a situation, that you know needs to be released. And if it is feeling a little uncomfortable, just take some deep breaths. And this is not to relive or attach to the event. This is the place where you can choose to let go of judgment around it. So greet it. Greet that person, and if that person is you, greet that person with open, loving arms as best you can. Yourself to just breathe. Breathe and let go. With gratitude, knowing that this situation, this person, whatever this is, has come into your life to help you grow. To help you reveal more of your divinity. You are stronger than you know. More loving than you give yourself credit for. Give yourself some credit now. There is a depth that you are just beginning to plumb. And it is that place in you, that divine center that you are, that is always present, simply awaiting your acknowledgement. That place that you know you can return anytime. Back to this place and this time. And in that gratitude of knowing your divinity, let's express that.